Well, good morning. We started our morning with Psalm 42, and this part specifically: as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. The words the author chose point to the human condition. We're all thirsty. We're thirsty for comfort or security or power or control or companionship or pleasure. We're thirsty. We're thirsty in many ways, and we're thirsty often. And in our humanity, we tend to go to all the wrong places to try to quench our thirst on our own. And we've been calling those places empty wells throughout this series. And the concept for empty wells comes from the Bible, a story in the Bible in the book of John, where Jesus meets a woman at a well, and he reveals himself to her as living water. He says, "I see you. I see your thirst. I see the drought of your soul, and I have come to bring you living water that will offer life everlasting." That's Jesus's promise. And even before and beyond that story in the Bible, this concept of Jesus being the living water, of God's metaphor for him providing living water, is all throughout the Bible. God is clear. He is the living water designed to quench our thirsts. And here's my hope for you today. My hope for you today is that you recognize the reason you're thirsty. What are the motives behind the drought of your life? And for you to consider receiving Jesus as living water. For you to say, "God, I actually choose something different than I can provide myself. I want the water of life to bring refreshment and growth in my right here and right now." So would you pray for me that maybe that could be true for us? God, thank you for today. Thank you for this moment in the middle of a holiday weekend where we can pause, we can reflect, and we can turn our minds and our hearts to you. God, I pray that no matter where we are on our journey of understanding who you are, of believing in you or not yet, I just pray that you would speak to us. I pray that you would create in us a desire for living water that outpaces the desire we have for empty wells. And I pray that my words would be truthful and honorable. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So all throughout this series, we've dug into some really, really challenging empty wells. I mean, we've looked at pornography and sex and marriage and comparison and needing approval via social media. I mean, like, really, really challenging empty wells. And for me, I'll just say, I think there's a really challenging empty well that is a little bit more every day for me, a little bit more like every minute of every day for me. And I think it's a well that you have in your life too. It is 3 inches by 6 inches, and it's in your pocket. Only it's almost never in your pocket because it's always in your hand. In fact, like, your wrist hurts sometimes and your thumb hurts sometimes because it's just used for constant scrolling motion. I think the devices we have in our pockets are the most prevalent empty well in our lives. In fact, I was thinking about this. Let's just pause for a second. Why don't you go ahead and pull your phone out and power it off for the remainder of this morning? Okay, I'm actually not going to make you power off your phone. You can pause. You can if you want. But I want you to just pause and reflect a little bit. What thoughts and emotions just happened inside of you when someone suggested you power it off? And what does that say maybe about your relationship with your phone? And I'll just say, I think it's a real empty well for a lot of us. And as we've gone throughout this series and we've looked at all these other empty wells, I found myself sitting there going, man, I think this empty well of our phone is really involved and embedded in every other empty well we've looked at. I mean, consider, do you want better sex and marriage? Stop scrolling on your phones while you're laying in bed next to each other. Do you want to get out of the trap of pornography? Man, less scrolling means less images for you to just happen upon, means it's less of a problem. Put your phone away. Are you tired of comparing yourself to others? Just think about the draw of social media and how it makes that problem worse. Or maybe for you, you would say like performance or workism or careerism. Those are more my empty wells, Vicky. Well, I'll just say the constant notifications you're receiving on your phone aren't helping you move to a place of health and healing when it comes to comparison and performance, I think this empty well plays a role in every single one of them. And this is not just an empty well, but it's really loud. Our phone use, this like mental junk and the constant distraction, it creates a lot of noise in our lives. We're living loud and fast and distracted with all this input and stimuli. And noise is a problem if you want to experience the living water. You can't allow your thirst to be quenched by the living water if you're distracting and drowning out that voice and that experience entirely. I think the biggest questions for us, though, lie a couple of layers deeper. So you don't need me to prove that phone use is a problem. In fact, I went on to ChatGPT. I asked it for all the most recent research studies that I could throw up here to tell you phone use is a problem for you. I thought maybe I'll tell them to go into their phones and access their own screen time and just do a little self-evaluation. Do we feel good about this? But actually, I think this is a self-evident problem. I don't think you need me to explain to you that it's a problem. I think it's a problem you feel. I think it's a problem the people around you feel. And the question then becomes, why? Why are we so distracted by our phones? What part of you are you afraid to be alone with? So afraid to be alone with that you'd rather distract and soothe and pacify with constant scrolling. I want you to honestly reflect and consider in your life, what are you trying to cover up? What are you trying to shove down? What emotions for you are you afraid to face? Why is it so hard to be alone with you? When you actually consider those questions in your life, is it insecurity? I mean, that is like my absolute number one. That's my number one trigger to feel thirsty. For you, is it insecurity? Is it a hard time just managing big emotions? Is it exhaustion or overwhelm? Is it loneliness or boredom? Is it a desire for information or control or power? Is it a need to prove yourself or to accomplish more? What is the motives for your thirst in your life today? Look, I've made some really big progress. I don't like the voice of busyness in my life, and I don't like the constant use of phones in my life, and I've really worked hard to come against this in my own life. I've read The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. I've read The TechWise Family, and I've put lots of these things into practice. Our kids and our family do this thing called the 1,000 Hours Outside Challenge, trying to live a life outdoors and away from structured activities and screens. Like, I've put in some work to get this one under control. I read more books and listen to more podcasts about the dangers of living overscheduled or the dangers of media addiction than I read or listen to any other topic. And yes, I just admitted to you, I consume content about how to not consume content. I see the irony. I do. I see it. And even coming from a place of going, I think this is an empty well for me. I think this is a place I turn to when I don't want to or need to, when God has something better for me, I still make mistakes. And this one on the regular. In fact, this summer, I had just a pretty profound experience of experiencing doom scrolling as an empty well. My husband, Tony, climbed Mount Rainier. You guys, he's so freaking badass. Is that not amazing? I'm like wicked proud of him. He had a wonderful trip, a very successful trip. He felt amazing. I was talking to him on the phone and he's like clearly on cloud nine. And I was clearly not. For as good of a trip he had, I had this experience when he was gone. That trip was the most vulnerable I think I've ever felt. It was the most insecure I've ever felt. I was anxious and afraid. I had a soul that was so thirsty for comfort and security and peace, and I didn't know how to handle it. I didn't know how to handle it. And so I did a good job, I think, night one while he was on the mountain of paying attention to my kids and then getting them to bed early. I paid attention to them. I think I did all right. I think they could tell that mom was not at her best, but it wasn't traumatic. You know what I'm saying? But I got them to bed, and then I scrolled for far too long. I mean, just like, please let this feeling go numb. Please let this feeling go numb. You know, like when you're begging for something to go away, but like you're using something that's not going to help. Okay, way too long scrolling, up way too late scrolling, and finally fell asleep, slept not great, woke up the next morning. Okay, no big deal, right? That's not the end of the world. Is scrolling one night the end of the world? No. Did I see something I shouldn't have seen? No, not in the context of this series. I mean, I did find plenty of articles about people who had died on Mount Rainier, and I'm not sure that that helped me. But in the context of this series, I didn't see anything that would have led me to any of these other empty wells we looked at. No big deal, right? I'll just say for me, where I'm at in my journey of following Jesus, that is a big deal. That's not what I want. I have history. I have recent memory of choosing living water. I have recent memory of going, my feelings are too hard for me to manage right now. God, I need you. And I've actually have experience in calming my brain and my body and reading some scripture or listening to a worship song and actually choosing living water. I have experience in that. And I'll just say, I know myself and where I'm at right now to know scrolling never helps me in the long run. In fact, it makes everything worse. Like it raises my underlying insecurity and anxiousness in the long run. It's not helpful. It's not a helpful tool for me. And I chose it anyway. I think the struggle is real, you guys. I think it's a struggle that we're all up against. So the day after, I woke up and said, I'm going to choose something different. When I was thirsty last night, I chose something that was not fulfilling, was not satisfying. And today I'm going to do something different. So I woke up and I connected with God, which simply means I took my coffee out on the back deck and I listened to the sounds of outside. And I call to mind the scripture that I call to mind often that's in the book of Matthew. And it's the words of Jesus, and he's reassuring his followers that he will take care of their every need. And so I sat outside and I said, Jesus, you tell me that you'll take care of my every need. I feel needy this morning. Would you take care of me? Nothing profound happened in that moment, but I can tell you it was living water. Like a small step towards escaping the hard feelings, you know? And then I showed up and I just decided, what would it look like for me to actually tell my friends today? Like the hard stuff. You know how we pretend to tell friends? I was like, no, what if I like really tell them? So I started my morning going, hey, I spiraled so hard that I found companies that would turn my husband's remains into a diamond. Not only did I spiral that hard, but I told somebody. I told them, hey, this trip has left me far more vulnerable and insecure than I even knew I could feel. I told them, I am so proud of my person. I'm proud of his success. I want him to come back feeling celebrated. And I actually don't know how I manage celebrating him in the heart of my emotions. I actually don't know if I can do that. I told my people that. And Brenna listened and she encouraged and she prayed. And Kelly listened and she encouraged and she prayed. And Patricia listened and she hugged me and she took my kids for dinner that night. And I experienced living water through God's people. Okay, that evening felt different. I got to authentically connect with my kids. I snuggled them to bed, and then I was fine. He was not off the mountain yet, and I was fine. I felt different. It was a lightness, a freedom that I didn't feel just the night before. And I think it was because I was willing to connect with God, connect with the living water, and connect with his people. And it gave me something far more satisfying than I found on my own. And I'll just say, spoiler alert, Jesus is always more satisfying than anything you can find on your own. And if you want to practice this formula of connecting with God and connecting with his people, your phone use is a problem. It's getting in the way of your ability to do those two things. So the question is, what do we do about this, right? Like, if we know we're living loud and fast and distracted, how do we actually connect with the living water? And for me, I go back to this verse that's inside of Psalm 23, and it says this, "He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." If you want the living water, you have to increase your hit rate of being able to connect with it. You have to be willing to be led to still waters. When I say still waters, I mean things like silence and solitude, margin and rest. And I want you to just do a little self-evaluation. How do those words feel? Silence and solitude. Is that reassuring or is that terrifying? The living water wants to meet you at still waters. It wants to quench your thirst, but you've got to be willing to go there. You have to be willing to turn down the noise of life, to pause and to receive him. For me, still waters are where I finally hear the voice of God. I finally get the rest out of the way so I can hear him. For me, still waters are where I can work through the hard parts, the disappointments, the frustrations of my day, and move on in a way that's more sustaining. For me, still waters of silence and solitude are literally the only way that I can satisfyingly move away from a place of feeling overwhelmed or insecure. It's the only tool that works sustainingly for me. And I know some of you hear just the word silence and solitude. I know some of you hear this message and you go like, yeah, I actually don't want to live without that distraction. I actually don't want to be alone with myself. I actually don't want to face the challenges that I know that are gonna come up as soon as I quiet my mind. And I'll just say, yes, there are challenges that are gonna come up when you quiet your mind. You're going to face internal parts of you that you could have otherwise moved away from. But can I tell you that it's good? Can I tell you that like facing down the actual hard stuff in our lives is far better than thinking we can ignore it for long enough? It never goes away until we let it arise to the surface, lay it at the feet of living water, and receive in exchange what he has for us. Do you want an escape? That's what Jesus has to offer you. Jesus poured out his life so that you may have life. And in this moment of his death, there's something really curious recorded in the book of John. It says this, "But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus's side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water." Water. Do you see it? Even at the point of Jesus's death, he was communicating to us, "I came to bring you living water. I came so you may have life." God wants that for you. You've got to identify where you feel thirsty. Where are you looking for something else to fill you up? Here's what living water has for you. Are you feeling insecurity? The living water says, "For you are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared for us to do." Are you craving approval? Jesus says, "You, as you are worth everything. You were bought for a price." Is it boredom? Like, is boredom the thing that's just drawing you in over and over? Jesus says he came so you may have life and have life abundantly, not boredom. He has an abundant life for you. For you, is it loneliness? Psalm says, "I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me." You're not alone. Is it fear? 2 Timothy says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-discipline." In what area do you need the living water that Jesus has to offer? On your way in, you were handed an empty cup. And I think the concept of an empty well can be a little bit lost on us culturally. I mean, who has a cistern, right? I don't. But just imagine if every day you had to go to a cistern to receive the water so you could like functionally stay alive. And then imagine if that were empty. It's the same as this cup for us. We know what it means to be parched, to be thirsty, to be desiring water and be holding an empty cup. This right here, it physically represents how we are feeling spiritually. You and I are holding an empty cup. We're going, Jesus, we're thirsty. It's the human condition. The question is, why are you thirsty? And will you do what it takes to have it filled? We're gonna sing this song. Well, actually, they're gonna sing this song. And during this song, I want you to hold this cup, and I want you to start to actually reflect in your own life, because your personal story looks different than mine. But in your life, why are you thirsty? What is your empty cup represented of? And what would it take for you to consider allowing Jesus to fill this cup today?